But hallelujah. So because he called us a peculiar people and has made us in such a way that we possess, we are his possession. He is our possession. And we possess his virtues and his perfections. Whose perfections? Or Christ's perfections. So Christ's perfections and virtues are with the Christian. The deeds of Christ are with the Christian. So it says that we may display these virtues and perfections. What does it say? According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain, concern life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us unto what? Unto glory and what? Virtue. So he has called us unto glory. He has called us unto virtue. Now he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we should demonstrate those perfections of God. Those perfections of Christ. We should demonstrate it. The Christian. We are the only ones who have the perfections of God and the virtues of God. We are the only ones. Shout hallelujah. I want you to understand that the Christian is not an ordinary person. It's very important. When you are born again, you go to church, all right. But it's important that you have understanding of who you are and what you have in Christ. It's very important. It's very important that we understand that God has given us a big privilege. He has given us sight. He has given us spiritual sight. He has given us the ability. He has enabled us to see into him. Not only to see to him, but to possess him. Shout hallelujah. And I said it last week here that nobody, no one, apart from the Christian, has the privilege that we have. Nobody. Nobody could see into God. The Christian is an honorable person. The Christian is a person of honor. What did I just say? The Christian is a person of honor. The Christian is an honorable member of the body of Christ. The Christian is an honorable member of the body of Christ. He is an honor. He has been placed in positioned in honor, in glory, in virtue, in the perfections of God. He has been positioned in the perfections of God, in glory. So the Christian is not ordinary. Shout hallelujah. No situation has enough power over the Christian. No. No situation has enough power over the Christian. No man born of a woman has enough power, control, rulership over the Christian. No. Shout hallelujah. We have been positioned in a place of honor. It's very important. It's very important that we understand that we've been given, last week I explained, we've been given spiritual sight, the ability to see into God, the ability to know God. There is such a thing as knowing God. There is such a thing as knowing God by spiritual sight. You can write it down. There is such a thing as knowing God. There is such a thing as knowing God by spiritual sight. The one who knows God only knows about God. The first one is knowing God. The second one is knowing God by sight or by spiritual sight. Oh, it's a great privilege to be called a Christian. What a great privilege to be called a Christian. What a great privilege to be called a Christian. What a great privilege to be called a child of God. To be part of God. What a great privilege. Shout hallelujah. So there is such a thing as knowing God. There is another one, knowing God by sight or by spiritual sight. The one who knows God only knows about God. But the one who knows God by sight sees into the reality of God. He knows God by reality. Write it down. So the one who knows God knows about God. But the one who knows God by sight is able to see into the reality of God. He's able to see into the reality of God. He's able to see into the reality of God. Shout hallelujah. So he's able to see into the reality of God. The one who knows God by sight or by spiritual sight is able to see into the reality of God. Shout hallelujah. And I've said it last week. I want to repeat it before I can continue the message. Amen. That nobody, none of the prophets or priests, or none of them ever knew God by sight. From Genesis until John, until Jesus came. So from Genesis until John, nobody in the scriptures knew God by sight. All of them knew him, but they did not know him by sight. By spiritual sight. Why? They didn't have spiritual sight to be able to know God, to understand God. They didn't have. Why? Because they couldn't be born again. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, what? But Nicodemus was a Jew, a Pharisee. But he did not know what Jesus was talking about. Why? Because he lacked spiritual sight. The Bible says that they may see and not understand. One day when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was walking with the disciples. Hallelujah. They weren't born again then. The Holy Ghost had not been given to them. So they did not have what is called spiritual sight. Spiritual sight. So when Jesus was walking with them, talking to them on the road of Emmaus, walking with them, as Jesus was talking to them, they were talking, just see that it was Jesus. They couldn't know. They said, oh, we are talking about a prophet who came and this. Until Jesus gave them bread. And then their eyes opened. And they vanished. Their eyes did what? Opened. So their eyes were opened, but they were not open. In other words, they lacked spiritual sight. So they couldn't see that this was Jesus. But when we get born again, our spirit has been quickened. So your spirit is able to assess the things of God. Now that you are born again, you can assess, you can understand the things of God. You can know God, know the things of God, know the mysteries and secrets of God because you are born again and you have a sight. So I said it, being born again gives you spiritual sight. The one who is not born again doesn't have spiritual sight. The one who came before Jesus came did not have spiritual sight. The one who was there until Jesus was raised from the dead did not have spiritual sight. So one day that man was reading the book as he was going. Reading the book. The Spirit of God took Philip to the man. The Ethiopian Enoch. The Spirit of God carried Philip to the man. Philip actually said, understandeth what thou readest. He was reading, but didn't know what he was reading. Until Philip explained to him. Shout hallelujah. It means that the Holy Ghost, spiritual sight, enables us to explain the things of God to people. Spiritual sight enables us to explain the mysteries of God, the secrets of God. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm explaining to you the mysteries and the secrets of God. He has given us that right and privilege by sight. To be able to explain to others what is the mysteries of God and what are the secrets of God and what are the things of God and who God is. No man can do that until he's born again. Shout hallelujah. So from Genesis, from Adam until John, until Jesus came, none of them knew God by sight. They walked with God, but they didn't know him. God gave them prophecies, visions, Daniel and David and all of that, but they did not know him. Jesus said something. He said that all the prophets and all the law have prophesied until John. So they were prophesying of the coming Messiah, yet they did not know God by sight, by spiritual sight, by spiritual understanding. They were talking about him. They were prophesying about how Jesus was going to come. Yet, if you ask them who God was at that particular time, they wouldn't be able to explain. Why wouldn't they be able to explain? Because they did not have spiritual sight. And it's important that we understand that because of who we are now and the sight that has been given to us, we can explain the mysteries of God. God is no longer a mystery to the Christian. God's secrets are no longer secrets to the Christian. The secret of God and the mysteries of God are made available and accessible to the Christian. They are made available and accessible. So he says that unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Unto you is given to know. And last week I explained about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And now it is given us to know, to see, to assess. So what is God saying? He says we should go and explain him to others. We can explain God to others. Oh, Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? To be able to know and understand God as a person. That which from Adam to John Baptist, none of them had and knew. None of them. And we, the Christian, we have it and we know. Is that not strange and powerful? Shout hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Let me explain something there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 to 13. Quickly. I want to be able to hit something before I leave this place. We'll continue the rest next week. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 to 13. What a great privilege. Look at someone, tell the person, what a great privilege.
What a great privilege.
What an honor.
What an honor.
To be able to know God as a person.
To be able to know God as a person.
To be able to understand God as a person.
To be able to understand God as a person.
To access to the mysteries.
To have access to the mysteries and the secrets of God.
So, what that which was with God was hidden, we know. Whatever is hidden about God has been given to us. So there are no hidden things of God. The Christian is a carrier of the hidden things of God. So you want somebody to show you hidden things of God, it is with the Christian. Last week I said, if you meet Moses and you ask Moses, what is the kind of life God lives? He wouldn't be able to explain. Did not know the kind of life that God was living. He did not know. He couldn't tell us what the nature of God was. But today, we can say what the life of God is. Why? Because we know that life and we have that life. Is it not powerful? We have the life and we know that life. Matthew chapter 11, quickly. Oh, hallelujah.
The New King James Version. Assuredly, I say to you,
among those born of women,
there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist.
There has not risen one greater than John the Baptist.
But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Is greater than John. I say unto you, among all those who are born of women, there is none of them that is greater or that was greater than John the Baptist. Meaning that John the Baptist was greater than all those who came in the Bible, all the names mentioned, the big names, who were born of women. who were born of women. John the Baptist is and was greater than all those who were born of women. Was David born of a woman? Yes. Was Abraham born of a woman? Yes. Was Elijah born of a woman? Yes. So he says that John the Baptist was greater than all of them born of a woman. But then the least in the kingdom, he's saying that the one who just got born again, the least in the kingdom of heaven, when you are born again, you are in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is in you. When you are born again, you are in the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of God is in you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Malatos kipala kasoya. Maleve koski palu varu kasoya. Malende, malende, malende. Leave us a time. What a great privilege. As I understand these things, I tell myself, what a great privilege. What an honor. What an honor. Kale meso folo koseta. The least in the kingdom is the one who just got born again. He says that the babe in Christ Jesus, the babe, the baby in Christ Jesus, the one who just got born again in Christ Jesus, the babe, is greater than John the Baptist. So what is he telling us? Shout hallelujah. So he's striking a difference between John the Baptist and the generation that came before John the Baptist and the Christian. The least in the kingdom is greater than John and greater than all of them. Go to the book of John quickly. I just want to explain certain things. Last week I mentioned certain things here, and I want to explain it further before I go on. Amen. About how all those who came before Jesus came, all those who came did not know God by sight. They knew about him. They could talk about him, but they could not know him as a person. They couldn't relate with him as a person. Hallelujah. So I'm going to explain to you some of the statements that Jesus made concerning the people who came before him and our generation, the new creation. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Go to the book of Luke. Sorry. Luke chapter 11, verse 31 to 32. Quickly. I'm just hitting on this one quickly. Luke chapter 11, verse 31 to 32. Isn't that powerful? Among all those who are born of women, John the Baptist is the great. The Baptist is greater than Solomon. John the Baptist is greater than Jonah. John the Baptist is greater than Job. John the Baptist is greater than David, than Daniel, than Moses, than Elijah, Elisha. Jesus said John the Baptist is greater than all of them. Something just hit my spirit. It says, among all those who are born of women. Do you know what that means? The Christian is not born of women. So when he says, among all those who are born of women, he's referring to those who are born of women, not the Christian. Why? John chapter 1 tells us that we are children, for as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Then he says that children, not born of what? Of blood. Not born of what? Of the will of man. But born of what? Born of God. So in the sight of God, we are born of him. We are begotten of God. We are not born of women. We are begotten of God. That is why he says, therefore, henceforth, know we man after the flesh. When we begin to know the Christian after the flesh, we say, oh, he's born of man. He's born of man. But he says, no, henceforth, we do not regard any man after the flesh. We regard them after Christ. If Christ is born of God, then we are born of God. And the seed of Christ dwells in us. The life of Christ. Of his own will begot he us. Of his own will, by the word of truth. So he says, among all those who are born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. But he couldn't relate us to John because we are not born of women. For he that is born of above is above all. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is what it means to be born again. To move beyond the natural into the divine. That is what it means to be born again. To live in the divine. To command supernatural things. To see supernatural happiness. That is why all the testimonies we share here are natural and normal testimonies. They are supernatural ones. Why? Because we've been taught, we've been raised to command the supernatural. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Children not born of flesh, nor born of the will of man, nor born of blood. Open John chapter 1 let, so that you can see it. There we go. Quickly.
From verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
But as many as received him,
uh-huh,
to them he gave the right, mm-hmm, to become children of God,
mm-hmm,
to those who believe in his name,
mm-hmm,
who were born,
mm-hmm,
not of blood,
mm-hmm,
nor of the will of the flesh,
uh-huh,
nor of the will of man,
but born of God. So we are born of God. We are not born of the will of man. No. The Christian, the new creation, the one who is in Christ Jesus and has Christ Jesus living in him, the one who lives in Christ, is not born of man. He's born of God. He speaks the things of God. He does the works of God to show forth what? His wonderful works or deeds. You cannot show forth God's wonderful deeds unless you are connected to him. And we are connected to God by birth. Shout hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 11, verse 31 and 32 quickly. Oh, laba setelebe koska. Meleve shabalahasa. Quickly, Obed, because of what? I want to read some place before we close.
Chapter 11, verse 31 to 32.
Uh-huh.
The queen of the south,
uh-huh,
will rise up in the judgment,
uh-huh,
with the men of this generation,
uh-huh,
and condemn them.
Uh-huh.
For she came from the ends of the earth,
uh-huh,
to hear the wisdom of Solomon.
For she came from where?
The ends of the earth
to hear who?
The wisdom of Solomon.
The wisdom of Solomon.
Uh-huh. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here.
A greater than Solomon is here. Who was talking?
Jesus
said he was greater than Solomon. He was talking about levels. Said Solomon was there, but I am greater than Solomon. Listen, follow me. Are you following? So it says, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. Continue, Obed.
Mm-hmm. Verse 32.
That was about Solomon. Mm-hmm.
The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment.
Nineveh, uh-huh,
with this generation and condemn it.
And condemn it. Uh-huh.
For they repent
of Jonah. Uh-huh.
And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here.
A greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus said he was greater than Solomon. And he was greater than Jonah, a prophet. And you see, Jonah depicted the death and the resurrection of Jesus. When he went into the belly of the big fish, and after 3 days came out, it was a depiction. A type of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Then Jesus comes and tells us that a greater than Jonah is here. So he said, I am greater than Jonah. I am greater than Solomon. Solomon in all his wisdom, I am greater than him. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What will make a man talk like that? There is a kind of understanding of himself that he had. Jesus had an understanding of himself in a particular way. It's called spiritual understanding. For we know the Son of God has come and he has given us an understanding. So the Son of God himself had an understanding of himself. And so he was talking like that. He was speaking plainly, boldly, unlike Moses. He was talking boldly. I'm greater than Solomon. Because the people did not understand him. Let's go to another verse. John chapter 8, verse 54 to 58. Quickly. Quickly. John chapter 8, verse 54 to 58. Hallelujah. Malendo Sasha Kabalahasa. John chapter 8, verse 54 to 58. Oh, labasa, labasa.
John chapter 8,
Lebeko
Sata. Verse 54 to 58. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him.
Yet you have not known him.
But
Jesus was talking to them. There was an argument. Jesus was talking so bold that the people did not understand him. So they were angry. Why will you be talking like this? Then he was making this statement. Continue over.
55. Yet you have not known him.
Yet you have not known him. Jesus was saying that the Israelites, the Jews, had not known God, even though they called him their God. But it was God, his Father, that honored him. Continue, he will make a statement right now.
But I know him.
Who was talking? Jesus. What was he saying? He says, I know God. But you guys don't know God, even though you call him God. But he, Jesus, knew God. Continue, Obed.
And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him. And keep his word.
And keep his words. Continue.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see
your
my
father
day.
Abraham, because the Jews were used to Abraham as their father. They knew Abraham as their father. They knew God made a covenant. And last week I said, as we close, I'll explain that one if I have time. That there was a relationship that God had with Abraham called the covenant relationship. So the Jews coming from Abraham, or coming as the seed of Abraham after the flesh, thought that they knew God. And Abraham was their father. So Jesus was telling them that, well, you know Abraham as your father. Then he says, Abraham, your father, the one you know as your father, did what?
Rejoiced to see my day.
So Abraham, NIV, quickly. Verse what? Go back.
56,
NIV.
Your father Abraham rejoiced.
Halala bakasoya. He rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. Which day? The day of Christ Jesus. The day of Jesus Christ. Abraham, just at the thought of that day, rejoiced. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know what that means? And we are partakers of the day that Abraham foresaw and rejoiced. But continue.
And you saw it. And was glad. You are not yet 50 years old.
The people said, oh, you this guy, you talk big. We know you. You are not even 50 years old. How come you say that Abraham rejoiced to see my day? Where did you see Abraham from? How did you see Abraham? How did you know that he rejoiced to see your day? And when is your day? They were confused. Then said, you are not even 50 years. So when did you meet Abraham? Our father Abraham, who came long time ago and is dead. When did you meet him? You understand? Now continue.
And have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them,
Most assuredly,
I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Look at the statement he was making. People were angry. And the Bible said they picked up stones to stone him. What nonsense is this? Why? They lacked spiritual insight. They did not understand what Jesus was saying, but we understand. How do we understand? Because of our generation, by spiritual sight. So they didn't understand what he was saying. Then he said, before Abraham was, I am. I was there before Abraham. And that when I was explaining the predestination, I said something that the Christian was in God before the foundation of the world. So the Christian lived, existed, pre-existed before Abraham. That is how come, by the manifestation of Christian right now, that we know this is the Christian, we are able to explain the things of God more than Abraham. Because we know God like Jesus Christ. It says, before Abraham was, I am. That means that I pre-existed. We lived before Abraham. And I live forevermore. Before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say I was. He said, I am. If he said I was, then it means that shout hallelujah. If he had said I was or I will be, then he wouldn't be the same yesterday and forever. But the Bible tells us that he is the same. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same. That is why he calls himself I am. So when Moses was going, he said, when you go, say, I am has sent you. The one who pre-lived before you guys. The one who is the same today, tomorrow, he's the same. He is I am. It means the Christian is I am. Why? Because by virtue of the life that we have received, we live today. We lived in God before the foundation of the world. The Christian. No. Let me just stay here. Where are we? I am. Now let's go to John chapter 3, verse 28 to 36. I want to explain something about John. Last week I didn't get time to explain that one. John the Baptist. John chapter 3, verse 28 to 36, quickly. Oh, la basa talahaya.
John chapter 3,
yes,
verse 28 to 36. Mm-hmm. You yourselves bear me witness that I said,
I am not the Christ,
but I have been sent before him.
Uh-huh.
He who has the bride
is the bridegroom.
But the friend of the bridegroom
who stands and hears him
rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice.
So John heard the bridegroom's voice. He was the friend of the bride. We are the bride with the bridegroom. So the things that we know, John didn't know. But let's continue, because last week I explained that one, so I won't go back to that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
This joy of mine is fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
He must increase.
I must decrease. Uh-huh.
He who comes from above.
Hallelujah. Babel. Listen to what John was saying concerning Jesus. I want you to understand how the people who came before Jesus were, and see them the way Jesus saw them, and how God saw them. And tells us how they were. You understand? So that we can now see ourselves in the light of Christ Jesus. To something that, Adam, we've been restored back to Adam. David, he was a great prophet, Elijah. Why? Because they've not understood themselves in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now continue over.
He who comes from above
is above all.
He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth.
Now listen. He says he that is from above is above all. John. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
What was he doing? He was trying to explain to the people the difference between he, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ. That there was a big difference.
Yeah.
As for me, I came as a messenger to announce the Christ. I am not the Christ. And the Christ is the bridegroom who had come to take his bride or to look for his bride. I am just the friend of the bride. That's what he was presenting himself as, the friend. So what the bride will know about the bridegroom, I wouldn't know. Then he came to explain that he that is from above, that Jesus was from above. He was born from above. He was born of God. He wasn't born on the earth, of the earth. No. He was born from above. Then he said, he that is born from above is above all. How many are they all? All. So he that is born from above is above all. Then he says what?
From heaven.
He who comes from heaven
is above all.
Is above all.
And what see?
And if you have your Bible, I want you to underline that aspect. And what he has seen and heard. The one who is from above is above all. The one who is of the earth, he's earthy. John the Baptist was from the earth, earthy. But Jesus was born of God and born of above. He came from above. So he was saying that Jesus is superior to all of us. He that is from above is above all. Do you know what that means to the Christian? Well, let's continue. Mm-hmm.
And what he has seen and heard.
And what he has seen and heard.
Testifies.
That is what he testifies. Who had seen? Jesus Christ. John said, John the Baptist. He said, what Jesus Christ had seen and heard. What had Jesus seen? Can I shock you? Go to John chapter 1. Verse 17 to 18. I want to show you what Jesus had seen. That John the Baptist said, that which he has seen and heard, he testified. We'll come back to the John chapter 3.
John chapter 1, mm-hmm. 17 to 18.
Are you following? Are you following?
Yes.
Are you following?
Yes.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So John chapter 1, verse 17 to 18.
Uh-huh. John chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. Uh-huh. For the law was given through Moses.
For the law was given through Moses. Uh-huh.
But grace and truth
uh-huh.
came through Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
No one has seen God at any time.
He says, no one has seen God at any time. Oh, are you following? Are you following? Are you following? Are you here? Or you are somewhere? You are thinking about some watching. Now listen, he says that John the Baptist says that that which Jesus Christ had seen and heard, that is what he's testifying of. Then he says, and we do what? We receive not his testimony. But Jesus was testifying of what he had seen and heard. But in John chapter 1 verse 17, it tells us that this Jesus had seen something. What had he seen? Say, I can see.
I can see.
Moses looked at the back of God. We are looking at the face of Jesus. We all with open face as in a glass. We don't know who we are. Oh, wait, continue because of our time.
Uh-huh. No one has seen God at any time.
No one has seen God at any time.
The only begotten Son.
The only begotten Son.
Who is in the bosom of the Father.
Who is in the bosom of the Father.
He has declared him.
He has declared him.
Amen.
Has he declared his Son? Yes. But it says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father. So, Jesus Christ was the one at that particular time. The only one who had seen God. No man had seen God except Jesus, the only begotten Son, whom he had declared. Then John says that what he has seen, Jesus, the testimony, what we give, what I'm teaching you now is what I have seen. Why? Because the testimony that Jesus was giving was based on what he had seen. And then John tells us more that he has seen something. Is this person seen God? So Jesus had seen God, testifying of God. How many of you understand that? So that which he had seen was God. He had seen God and he was testifying of God when he was walking on this earth. His testimony was the testimony of God that he had seen. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Continue over from John 3. John 3. Go back to John 3. Huh? Finish that. Let's
John
finish that
3.
One.
Uh-huh. Verse 33.
Uh-huh.
He who has received his testimony
uh-huh.
has certified
that God is true. Oh, hallelujah.
For he whom God has sent
For him whom God had sent
speaks the words of God.
Speaks the words of God.
For God does not give the Spirit by measure
unto him.
Amen. Verse 35. The Father loves the Son.
Wait. He says that the one who is sent of God speaks the words of God. So what were the people who came before him? What were they speaking? Because John strikes the difference. He says, Master, this man who has come, he has seen God. And that is what he's testifying of. What about the people who came before this man who has seen God? Did they see God? No. So what were they talking about? They were talking about this one who had seen God, who was going to come. And the one that they were talking about, who had seen God, had come. His name was Jesus Christ. And was giving a testimony. And the people will not believe. And he said, the one who believes has certified that God is true. For God has given the Spirit without measure to such a person, Jesus Christ. Why was Paul, John talking that way? Because before Jesus came, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, was not given to any man without measure. That means that there was not the fullness of the Holy Ghost on any man. The Holy Ghost came on all the old men for specific manifestations. Write it down. The Holy Ghost came on Elijah, Elisha, David for specific manifestations. They did not receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But with Jesus, God gave the Holy Ghost to how God anointed. Oh, hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. But you see, David was anointed. We all know that David was anointed. We all know that when it came to Samson, the Spirit of God came on Samson. We all know that. That the Spirit of God was on Elijah and Elisha. Yet John says that this person who has come has received the fullness of the Spirit, for God gave the Spirit without measure unto Jesus. So all of them, David was anointed and had the Holy Ghost for specific manifestations. Samson had the Holy Ghost for specific manifestations. Elijah, Elisha. But all of them were waiting for this master. The one that God had given the Spirit without measure. So the whole Holy Ghost in its entirety was in Jesus. So he was called Jesus the Christ. That means that Jesus the anointed one. Anointed with what? With who? The Holy Ghost. How God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. So Jesus had the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And because of that, he could speak the words of God. Having the Holy Ghost without measure. So now, it is only Jesus plus the Christian who has the Holy Ghost without measure. Why? Because the Christian is in this Jesus. If you are born again, you are in Christ. The one who has the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you are in him. It means that what do you do? You also have the fullness of the Holy Ghost in you. So the Holy Ghost can manifest through the Christian in entirety. The Holy Ghost can perform his ministry fully in the Christian. His ministry to teach, to guide, to lead. All of that. In the Christian, fully. Because the Christian has the Holy Ghost without measure, just like Jesus. Then it says, the Father loveth the Son. And he has given him what? All things. What has he given to the Son? All things. Do you know what that means? It means that the Father gave all that which belonged to him, the Father, God. He gave all to Jesus. All the things that belong to God, he gave it to Jesus. Even his personality, persona, he gave it to Jesus. So the Bible says it was the express image. Who being the express image of his person? Who? Jesus. The express image. I've explained it here before. I said that means that the exact copy of the person. Jesus was the express image of the person of God. So if you see Jesus coming, you are seeing the person of God coming. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So the Father gave him his life as the Father has life in himself. So has he given to the Son. Jesus was saying that. Whatever is of God, from his personality, his persona, to whatever he had, was given to Jesus. That is why Jesus could explain who God was. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what that means? It means that by our association with Jesus, what Jesus knew, we know. So the things of God that were mysteries and secrets to David were not mysteries and secrets to Christ Jesus. And because we are in Christ Jesus by birth, that which was secret to God, or the secret of God and mysteries of God, and the things of God that David and Solomon and others did not know and not have, because of our association with Christ Jesus, we know and we have. So the mysteries of God were mysteries to David, but they are revealed to the Christian. The mysteries of God were mysteries and secrets to Solomon, to Samson, to Gideon, to Jonah, to John the Baptist himself. But they are not secrets and mysteries to us. What am I doing right now? I'm explaining to you who God is. I'm explaining to you who you are in God. Why? Because I know who God is, and I know you are in God, and I'm explaining to you. If I was part of the David, I wouldn't be able to explain to you. I'll just tell you that there is a day coming. But that day that all of them were looking at, I'm part of that day. That day was the day of Jesus. It's called the dispensation of Jesus. And the dispensation of the new creation. The day. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice to my day. I am his day. I thought you said the same thing. Say, I am part of this day. So this is God. Robert, stand there. Let me explain something. This is God. This is the generation before Jesus. This is the generation after Jesus. These people did not know God by spiritual sight. They went around announcing about God, having certain visions about God, like Daniel. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool. David was saying, what was he saying? He was seeing a vision concerning Christ Jesus. He did not fully understand it. We are not seeing a vision of Jesus. We are seeing Jesus. We are not seeing a vision of Jesus. We are part of Jesus. We, the Christian. Oh. You enter your office and say, I am part of Jesus. So these people were just looking. God who had a relationship with them, talked to them, happy. But these people, God brought his son, Paul. Come. That was in God as they were. Brought him to these people. This person who came from God here explains fully who God is. These people who were just relating with God in one way or the other and prophesying about this person's coming did not fully understand who this God was. That's all that I'm sharing with you. And so, to these people, everything that concerned this one and even this one were mysteries. They were secrets. If I had met this person and said, so what is the life of God? Or what is the nature of God? He wouldn't be able to tell me. But if I meet this one, he will explain to me because he came out of this one. And all the people here belong to this one. So all of them are in this one and this one is in them. So, because this one is in you and you are in this one, whatever concerns God, you know. Simple. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can sit down. Shout hallelujah. So let's go to Hebrews quickly. Let me explain something about Moses. I want to explain one or two things so that you can have an understanding. People think that Moses is bigger than the Christian. No. The secrets of God have been unveiled. We are stewards of the... Let's we can be talking about that. When it calls us the stewards of the mysteries of God. But Jesus said that we are stewards. He said that the mysteries of God, it has been given to us to know the mysteries of God. So it has been given to me. It's an ability. It's a grace. Say grace.
Grace.
By grace, I know I can access the mysteries of God. God is not hidden to the Christian. The Christian is not hidden to God. Is that not powerful? We carry God all around. I'm the office of God. Moses, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Quickly, Obed. I don't have much time for this. I want to enter into something before we close. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 to 6.
Uh-huh. Therefore,
holy brethren,
partakers of the heavenly call, consider the apostle, and the high priest of our confession,
Hallelujah.
Christ Jesus,
uh-huh.
who was faithful to him,
uh-huh.
who appointed him,
uh-huh.
as Moses also was faithful
uh-huh.
in all his house.
Uh-huh.
For this one
mm-hmm.
has been counted worthy of more glory.
For this one, Christ Jesus, has been counted. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He has been counted of more glory. Than who? Than Moses. Continue, Obed.
For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses.
Uh-huh.
Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor
glory,
than the house.
Than the house.
For every house is built by someone. But he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant.
Uh-huh. As who?
A servant.
I wish I could explain this verse. It's too, say powerful.
Powerful.
Continue. I will rush into Adam. I don't want to.
For a testimony of those things which would be spoken. But Christ,
as a son,
over his own house.
See, he's bringing a difference here, but I don't have time for that one. The only difference I'll show you is that he's calling Moses a servant, he's calling Christ a son. And there's a difference in the house between the son and the servant. What the son knows, the servant doesn't know. The relation that exists between the son and the father is different from the relation that exists between the servant and the father. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to Genesis. Now, last week I said it here and I'm saying it again. There are three kinds of relationship. There are three kinds of relationship. Write it down. I'll explain the first one quickly. There are three kinds of relationship. And I said that the relationship, all the people who came before Jesus had a relationship with God. In one way or the other. Enoch walked with God. So he had a relationship with God. Abraham walked with God. David walked with God. He said, I found David a man after my own heart. So they all had a relationship with God. And we, the Christian, also have a relationship with God. There are three kinds of relationship. The first one is God and man relationship. God and man relationship. God and man relationship, or what I call an outward relationship. Outward relationship. The second one is what is called the covenant relationship. Covenant relationship. There are many Christians who think that we are having a covenant with God. Many Christians, they think we have a covenant with God. They say God is a covenant-keeping God. The Christian. Oh. So the second one is a covenant relationship. The third one is what is called the in Christ relationship. Say in Christ.
In Christ.
That is the relationship that the Christian, the person who is in Christ, has with God. So the in Christ relationship is also called an inward relationship. Say inward relationship. And I wanted to add this one to it. Last week I said it, I'm saying it again, that this relationship, the third one, is beyond a relationship. It's called a fellowship. It's beyond a relationship. It's called a fellowship. And I explain this one next week, the third one, and even maybe the second one. But I want us to take the first one. The first relationship is the God and man relationship. The God and man relationship. Say the God and man relationship. So Adam did not know God by sight, by spiritual sight. Adam knew about God, but Adam did not know God. And the relationship that existed between Adam and God, God and man relationship, because God created man called Adam. So that relationship was or is called God and man relationship. Or you can write it the creator and the created relationship. It's the same thing. God and man relationship. But why am I explaining this to you? So that you understand the kind of relationship that existed between God and man. The kind of relationship that existed between God and the other people. And the kind of relationship that exists between us and God. You can know the difference. Then you can know why we have insight into God and they don't have. You understand? Now, we all know about Adam in Genesis. How God formed man out of the dust of the ground, created one man, Adam. That was all. God gave him a responsibility. It says that have dominion over the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, have this dominion of the things that I've created. Give him the things he had created to have dominion or exercise rulership over them. That's the first responsibility. The second one was that God created a garden or made a garden, placed man in the garden, and told man to keep it. That was the second responsibility. You understand? And so one day God looked at man and said, oh, this guy is very lonely. Let me look for one chick for him. And formed man. Formed the woman out of Adam. Shout hallelujah. So there was a relationship, a correlation, an involvement between two of them. But the relationship was just like an outward relationship because God was not living in Adam. It's outward. The presence of God came to Adam. That's what the Bible says. And when the presence of God comes, the presence of God is the Spirit of God. So came to Adam. So there was much, it was more of an outward relationship. Adam and God. But Adam did not know God. Write this, write it down. Right? Adam did not know God. Quickly. Adam did not know God. Number one. That's on Adam, right? We just write the first one. God and man relationship. Then write Genesis chapter 1. Yes, Genesis, so that you can just catch it. I don't want to, because of our time. And you write, Adam did not know God. Adam did not know God. Adam did not know himself. Right? Adam did not know himself. Now, what I want you to understand is that when God formed the garden, there were a lot of trees in the garden. But two specific trees were mentioned. The tree of life and the tree of what? Good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not the tree of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's very important. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't have time to talk about the knowledge. You remember I've told about that. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So two trees that were really mentioned. Then God told man, you can eat of every tree that is there. But as for this particular tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't do it. Don't eat it. Then it says that when you eat it, you shall surely die. So the Bible says, as by one man's disobedience, sin came into the world. It means that sin did not come by the devil into the world. Sin came by one man's disobedience. And death came alongside, not by the devil. That's one key. Say key. So sin did not come into the world by the devil. Sin came by one man. His disobedience. And he didn't say that two men or two people, said one man. He didn't say one woman, he said one man. So even though Eve was deceived first and Adam was standing there eating, if Adam had not eaten, no sin, no death. So you understand? And when you read scripturally, you discover that there is nowhere in the Bible that the Spirit of God puts blame on the devil. that, oh, the devil made man. No. He says, as the serpent beguiled Eve, the serpent, he puts the blame on the serpent. Then he puts the blame on man and his disobedience. Why? Because God told him, don't eat of this tree. If you eat it, you will die. And then he ate it. And so the death came because God told him that if you eat it, you die. You understand that? But the relation that existed between, go to Genesis chapter 3 quickly so that I don't waste time. When I'm talking about sin, then I'll talk about all these things. I don't talk much about sin, I talk much about righteousness. The more you understand righteousness, the more you live right. Quickly, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We are going to read from verse 1 going. We don't have much time, but we have to read it.
Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1 going. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman,
listen very carefully what the serpent said.
You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat.
Wait. The serpent said something. The King James says, has God said? What is in the New King James?
Has God said?
You shall not eat of every tree
so
of the garden.
It's important what God says. When the devil is after the Christian, he looks for what God has said or he has not said. And it deceives the Christian that God has not said, even though God has said. Yes. So has God said is important. Is that what God has said? The word of God is God speaking to me. God has said something to me. What did he say? His word. Shout hallelujah. But quickly, continue, Obed, continue. Continue, Obed, quickly.
God has said, you shall not eat it,
quickly,
nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it,
your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, many people say that, he was already like God, but then the devil was deceiving them. That's not right. When you read scripturally, what is he saying? He says, you will be like, your eyes will be open. Then you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So Adam was ignorant. You can write that one, the third one. Adam was ignorant of good and evil. Adam was ignorant of good and evil, or of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was ignorant of the knowledge of good and evil. But Obed, quickly, let's run to finish this thing right now. A tree desirable to make one wise. The knowledge of good and evil. So that tree had a knowledge that it imparted. The knowledge of good and evil. We continue. So the husband too was with her. So when the serpent was talking all the rubbish and Eve was there, Adam too was there. That is why God blamed him. He was standing there. So when Eve took it, he also took it. He did not say Eve. God said no. He was standing there and he took it. So it wasn't that he was somewhere else and Eve was somewhere else. And when he came back, you understand? Like people Sunday school say it, that if when Adam came back, Eve had finished it. No, that's wrong. He was, the Bible says he was what? I didn't say it. Yes, continue.
Hallelujah.
Quickly, Obed.
And the eyes of both of them were open.
And they knew that they were naked. Now listen, the first one. I said Adam was what? Was ignorant of himself. Now, when they ate it, their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, okay, read it quickly. Let me explain that again.
Genesis chapter 2,
verse 8.
The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, man whom he had formed.
And go to verse 25.
Verse 25. And they were both naked.
And they were both naked.
Man and his wife.
Man and his wife. Sorry.
And were not ashamed.
And were not ashamed.
Amen.
So when God formed Eve out of Adam, they were both naked. And they were not ashamed. Listen. No. They were both naked and they were not ashamed. But they did know that they were naked. It wasn't that they were naked and they knew, no. They weren't aware that they were naked. And that is one of the spiritual operations of the Spirit of God. That I was explaining to Robert, how the Holy Ghost can make you walk through this building without anybody seeing you. It's possible. By the operation of the Holy Ghost. So you just pass there. Nobody will see you while you're walking. That was the same thing that happened there. He said that they were both naked. Some people say that because the glory of God was covering, there is no scripture that the glory of God was covering anywhere. But even though they were both naked, they were not ashamed. But they did not know that they were. It means that Adam did not even know himself very well. So the Genesis chapter 3, when they ate of the tree, what happened? Then they knew. Their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. So it was when they ate the tree that they became aware that we are naked. And then the Bible says that they look for leaves, fig leaves, to cover themselves. Now continue. Let me explain something. Continue. So that's the first thing. Adam did not know much about himself.
And they stood leaves together and themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
In the cool of the day.
And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. Lord God to Adam, to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid.
And I was afraid
because I was naked.
Because I was naked.
And I hid myself.
And I hid myself. Look at what God said.
He said, who told you that you were naked?
God said that. That's verse 11. He said, who told you that you were naked? So after God had formed man, God knew he was naked. But Adam did not know he was naked until he ate the tree. So God, knowing that the man was running away, and knowing that Adam was saying, and we were naked, then said, who told you? So, to some extent, Adam was ignorant of certain things. He had his own things that he understood, but he did not understand spiritual things. And the word naked means something very powerful. But then, he did not have access to spiritual things because he lacked spiritual sight. So even his own nakedness, he did not know. But God knew. Adam did not know. That's why I said Adam was ignorant of himself. Adam was ignorant of the devil, because there is nowhere mentioned in the book of Genesis that when God came, he said, this is the work of the devil. Nowhere. He dealt with them as Adam, Eve, and the serpent. That means that Adam was ignorant of the operations, spiritual operations of the devil. It was Jesus who came around and said that you are of your father the devil. John chapter 8. You're of your father the devil. You don't have time to go there. And he says, and he was a murderer from the beginning. Who is a murderer? Death kills. So he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So Jesus was giving us an insight of the killing of Adam. In a particular sense, in a spiritual sense for us to understand, but I can't go into that. But then in Genesis, we are not told about the devil. We are told about the serpent, that it was more subtle than all the animals. Then we are also told that Adam was naked and not ashamed. But when he ate the tree, he became aware that he was naked. God knew that Adam was naked, but Adam did not know. So God asked him, who told you you were naked? Continue. Let's see Adam's response. Quickly.
God. Then a man said,
Please let me take it from verse 11 again.
And he said, who told you that you were naked?
Uh-huh.
Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you
have
that
you
should not eat?
Of the tree? So immediately God, Adam said that he was naked. God realized that then that man had eaten the tree. He knew that the only way Adam could know that he was naked was by eating the tree. So he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the tree? So eating the tree alone made them aware. That's why he calls it the knowledge of good and evil. It's a knowledge. It's a wisdom. A tree that imparts some kind of wisdom that Adam did not have, but God had. You understand? So who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Have you eaten of it? And Adam said what? The woman.
Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate.
Go to 22 quickly.
Verse 20.
I don't have time for the serpent and that drama over there.
Verse 22. God said,
now listen, after God had dealt with Adam and Eve and the serpent, let's listen to what he said.
Then the Lord God said,
Behold,
the man has become like one of us.
Now listen very carefully. That's what I'm saying, that people say, oh, he already was like, no. See, there are a lot of things we can't explain now. But maybe as we go and we explain Genesis, all of, there are a lot of things there. But then he says that, now the Lord God said that man has become like one of us. How many of you have your Bible there? 22. I want you all to read it together. One, two, go. Listen. So man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. When did man become like one of us? When he ate. So what does that tell us? I'm talking about spiritual sight. That Adam did not have spiritual. It tells us that there were things that God knew that Adam did not know. There were things about Adam himself that God knew that he himself did not know. He was ignorant of the things that God knew about himself. That shows you that Adam himself did not understand himself. Even though he was created by God, had rulership over the things that God told him to have rulership over, and his dominion was explained, there were things that he did not know, but God knew. Now, if God knew certain things that Adam did not, is that the best would not be, or is not the best person to explain to us who God was. Because there were things about he himself that he did not know. So he says that now man has become like one of us. He has come to know good and evil. Lest he takes the tree of life, let us do what? Drive him out. So if by knowing good and evil, he had eaten the tree of life on top, it would have been disaster. There were two trees in the garden. Shout hallelujah. So Adam lacked spiritual sight. That's what I'm trying to just take you to. There are a lot of things about this story. I would love to explain it later on with Adam and Jesus Christ. But one thing I want to understand before we close, because we are closing, is that, oh, I'm adding this one. Adam did not have spiritual sight. And there were things from the scriptures that he knew, that he was ignorant of certain things aware of. So he couldn't explain to us who God was. He couldn't even explain to us who he was in the first place. But how do we know he was naked and he did not know? Because we have spiritual sight. So we are able to now see Adam into God and all his relationship with Adam and explain it now. Shout hallelujah. So Adam lacked spiritual sight, but we don't lack spiritual sight. Hallelujah. And next week I'll be talking about Abraham and his covenant with God, the Abrahamic covenant. And I'll explain why many Christians talk about, I'll be entering into the Christian too. Shout hallelujah. And why people say God is a covenant keeping God and we have a covenant with God, because they don't understand who the Christian is. Abraham had a covenant with God, but we don't have. You have a fellowship with God. You don't have a covenant with your father in the house. Do you have a covenant with your father? You have a relationship with your father. He is your father and you are his son. And you can go to him and talk to him and play with him and do everything you want to do as a son. And sometimes sit down and say, oh, I'm coming, daddy, I'm coming. Let me check one or two things and come back. And there is no covenant between a father and a son. There is a relationship. But it depends on that relationship. But in Christianity, that relationship is called a fellowship. A fellowship. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So next week I'll be explaining that. How many were blessed right now? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shall we please be upstanding? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, look at me. You see, let me explain this thing. The Holy Spirit just drew my attention to it right now. You see, God said that let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Adam was not like this. Like, why did God say, let us make man in our image? And let me just explain right now, very close. What God was saying that let us make man in our image, somebody who looked like us. God was a person. God had created things that all the things he created were animals and trees. And none of them look like him. So let us create man who will look like person in stature. You understand? Created like trees. Trees don't look like God. And fishes don't look like God. So he said, let's make man in our image. Then he says, after our likeness.